I again, people of marketing? Yes, you guessed it. This right here is a little ad. I'm not sure how much you know about Plannable, but we're a collaboration tool for social media teams, helping marketers around the world create, plan, review, approve, and schedule social media posts. The best part is that you can try Plannable for free, no strings attached. And if it strikes your fancy, we got a special offer just for you. Yes, I'm talking to you, dear listener who hasn't skipped past the ad. Go to plannable.io/listeners and use the discount code when upgrading to get 30% of the first 3 months. That is plannable.io/listeners. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, this is Ksenia Montan and welcome to another episode of People of Marketing Podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Plannable, the collaboration tool for social teams, and I launched this podcast to take a sneak peek into the lives of top marketers. We explore the story of their careers, the choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. Let's give a warm welcome to Michael Heaven, founding partner at Social Chain, a global social advertising agency you all have probably heard about. Michael heads up Social Chain's US media network, where he focuses on helping clients to deliver campaigns that harness the power of digital and social media with platform-native creativity to create memorable and engaging activations. Michael is also mentoring marketers taking their first steps in the industry, consults with fast-growth startups, and provides pro bono advice to nonprofits in childhood education and mental health. Michael, thank you a lot for joining me today on People of Marketing Podcast.
Hey, Zanya. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the invitation. Very, very impressive CV yourself. So I feel privileged to be here. So thank you.
Thanks a lot. That's very kind of you. I love starting this conversation with taking a walk through your career, looking backwards and just trying to connect the dots. And first question that I have for you is, what would you say was your first interaction with marketing that you can remember from when you were very young, potentially?
So I guess the first indirect experiences I had with advertising was being a kid and watching things like Cartoon Network and all those children channels, and just every single interruption in the content, there would be a toy or video. And when we moved from the US to the UK, we had all the sort of TV shows that we watched on video, VHS. So we always had this connection to US advertising as a child. But my sort of, as a more aware young adult, my first sort of, my early memories with advertising was the Honda Power of Dreams advert, those really large scale productions where the storytelling was much more a bigger part of it than the product. And I always remembered those, watching those interruptions in content and thinking, that's incredible. And then you'd see it link back to a product and you'd be like, okay, that was a cool experience.
Yeah. I see on your LinkedIn profile that you actually studied economics and political science. Is that right?
Yeah. So growing up, I was heavily into, just curious about the way the world worked. And I had teachers in history and Latin at school who sort of gave me this awareness of the influence that politics had in our day-to-day lives, which led me to take it through my school career and onto university. And same with economics. We had a very pivotal teacher in the sixth form, and he just changed my worldview in terms of what was important in the world. I think prior to that, I was into sort of entertainments and the arts and more traditional subjects like law. But I saw the impact that economic policy and politics had on our lives. I was just drawn to it. So I went to university to study that.
Got it. Did you have any experience, based on what you studied? Did you try, any jobs in that particular industry, maybe in politics or economics? Or was Social Chain you know, your first job experience?
No, I wasn't that lucky to have that as my first job experience. I went to university to study economics and politics, but I was really into the nightlife scene at university. Inadvertently, I discovered this sort of superpower I had, which was to bring people together. And in my first year, I organized, me and my group of friends organized most of the dorm hall parties. We started working with external promoters to get people to go to parties, and basically took a detour from my serious politics and economics degree to work in nightlife. I started working in festivals, worked with some of the biggest artists in EDM, and that's really how I got my start in marketing. All the tools that I was using to connect my group of friends and grow that influence amongst my peers, they just became the tools I harnessed to work with brands, starting first in the nightlife industry, and then alcohol, then in the student world, and then moving forward into like more traditional marketing career. And that's how my career at SocialChain eventually evolved from that
beginning. Got it. Yeah. You know, we've all had this seemingly insignificant events in our lives, or they seemed insignificant at that point in time. But, you know, those events, we realize later on that they, you know, change your life in an instant. And I'm curious if you had any kind of serendipity or, you know, insignificant events like that that you realized in time that actually changed your life.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, my life is full of moments like that where really small things, whether it was the way someone spoke to my mum at an open day and deciding what school I went to, or I missed the grades from my first choice university by like 3 marks. Things like that, really small things that had a big impact on my life. But the main one that I can think of, which got me to where I am right now, I used to write for a magazine, and I used to sell advertising for that magazine. And the office space that we shared it with a startup called Wallpark, who, if anyone knows the SocialChain story, was founded by Stephen Bartlett. And we used to spend like between 6 and 9 p.m., 6 and 10 p.m., just hanging out, playing on Snapchat, listening to music, talking about ideas, and just sharing cool things with each other in that space. And that led to me being a founding member of the SocialChain team. But that was just, at the time, we were just hanging out, we were just having fun, and it didn't seem to be a career path. But now I'm sat here 6 years later, and that's my career, so yeah.
That is such an impressive, small and seemingly insignificant event or environment. I'm curious, you know, from everything in marketing, because it's such an industry-wide, you know, profession, why do you think social marketing is where you ended up?
So I think it was in one of Malcolm Gladwell's books. He talks about the thing you're doing at like the age of 21, 22 being the thing that you go on to build your career around. And when social came out, it was just a toy. It was a tool that I'd used to connect with my friends. There weren't many brands on Facebook at the time. I was just a native social user. The outcomes I was generating with social media tools like Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram in the early days was just being able to connect with my friends and connect with more of my friends. And I think over time, those platforms, they've managed to get more and more brands on them, and more brands have seen how powerful those tools are. And because I had X amount of years of experience, it just put me in a good position to be able to work with brands, and that's become my career. But yeah, I think it was just because it was a toy that was available to me cheaply, I could spend time developing passion around it, I could then forge a career out of it. And had I been born in the 80s, I would have picked up a video camera and I would have been making short films, and I probably would have worked for MTV. So yeah, it's being a product of the time and just taking a toy and finding a commercial opportunity with it and making it into a career.
I love that, product of the time. I think that makes so much sense. I want to ask you now, throughout your career, what's like one highlight that you remember the most? You know, one proud moment of your career so far? And if you can tell us, you know, what was that and, you know, how you achieved it?
So there's been, I think the journey of Social Change has been a lot of fun. And there have been moments where I look back and think, I can't believe that's happened. But I think this one particular moment where it's sort of the confluence of our values, a commercial opportunity, and the outcome and the impact it's had on people's lives that I'm most proud of. So about 18 months ago, I was responsible for our media business in the UK. I headed up a media brand called BeFit Motivation, which is Social Change's fitness page on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. The team I brought together at the time were really passionate about showcasing a diverse range of people in the world of fitness. If you look at fitness content in traditional magazines, you usually see the same faces, same physiques over and over again. And we were keen to make sure there was diversity in that content. So we started a YouTube series called Extraordinary People. And that short-lived series, we basically found athletes around the UK mainly who had just accomplished amazing feats despite what could be perceived as setbacks. And one of the athletes we found, Kate Farley, she was a passionate boxer. She'd taken up boxing after the Olympic Games in London. And it was something that allowed her, it was her way of keeping fit despite the setbacks she's had in life. When we filmed that episode with her, one thing she said offhand is that she loved to meet Anthony Joshua, as he was the person that inspired her to become a boxer in the first place. And she's got, I think it's cerebral palsy. So that was a massive thing for her, finding something to keep herself fit despite that condition. Eventually, one of Anthony Joshua's, we at Social Change in the UK, we worked with, I think, three of Anthony Joshua's sponsors ahead of his world title rematch with Andy Ruiz. And one of them, Bulk Powders, we shared this idea with them. We could do a sponsored episode of Extraordinary People with Kate Farley and Joshua, and we could do it as a surprise, and Powders would facilitate that happening. The brand were brave enough to say yes. They had limited time with Anthony Joshua. He had so many commercial partnerships ahead of his fight. He had training commitments, and everyone involved just made it happen. On the day, it was a true surprise for Kate. AJ, his interactions with Kate was wonderful. And then when we shared that content on YouTube and Instagram, it was the most viewed sponsored content ahead of that Andy Ruiz fight with Anthony Joshua. And there was the comments, I think, in terms of just looking at the impact it had on both people who were fans of AJ, people who weren't fans of AJ, and also people who had their own setbacks in life. I think that's the one piece of work I'll always be proud of, because it made commercial sense and it also changed people's lives as well.
On the other side of this question, I have a question around, you know, the lowest point in your career. Because, you know, we all talk about highs and wins. And I like to talk a bit about, you know, the low points in our journey, in our career path. And I'm wondering, you know, what was yours?
If I'm being honest, I think looking back at my career, there's a lot of highlights which will make me think, oh, yeah, it's been great. But actually, a large part of the day-to-day of being in the advertising and marketing world is actually just dealing with lots of small setbacks and then keep going, keep being resilient and having these moments where you have these triumphs. And so my career is littered with lots of small setbacks, ideas I really wanted to sell into a client and the client said no to, and you know, it's a good idea, things like that. But for me, the biggest setback I've ever experienced in my career, and it's something that it took me a little bit of time to get over. On our journey, we had this series of wins. We were experiencing fast growth, and we were in lots of trade press. We were winning awards and working with the best clients in the UK. And some of our clients were asking why we didn't do anything in the US. Like, could we help them in the US? Being on that sort of headwind of all these positive things happening, we decided we'd go to the US, and it was a team of three people, me, the co-founder of Social Change, Steve, and our creative director, Cathy Cahill. And we turned up in New York in August 2016, about 2 years into our Social Change journey. And that's when I realized actually the world is a bigger place than the sort of pool that we were in before. And to be honest, we struggled a lot in the first year. There was a lot of goodwill from our clients, existing clients, who kept us going. But to win new business and to meet new brands in a market where people were already doing what we were doing, and there was just three of us telling our story, it was a challenge. And for me, it made me a bit more humble in terms of the approach I take. I'm a lot more willing to ask for help now. I'm a lot more willing to say I can't do something, because I've seen the impact that pride have on you if it's unchecked. So yeah, that experience of just launching a new business in the US in a mature market already was quite a setback. But I'm proud to say that the US team is thriving now. There's 40 people in our team. This year we were looking to open a third office in the US in Los Angeles. So after that setback, regrouped and we've had some success there, but it took a while and it didn't happen straight overnight as I thought it would.
If you enjoy People of Marketing and are interested in knowing more about influencer marketing, we've got a great podcast recommendation for you. WeInfluence, the Influence Marketing Podcast, is hosted by the always charming Jason Falls. He interviews people of influencer marketing to help your business better understand how influence can work for you. Go subscribe at jason.online/POM. That's jason.online/POM. Well, congratulations. It did happen, even if it took a little bit more than what you guys expected initially. On the same topic, I want to ask you about personal struggles throughout your career. In terms of habits or skills that you struggled the most to develop?
Yeah, so anyone that's sort of mentored me or worked with me can point to these two things and say that's like the biggest area for growth I've needed. And the two things, time management, my personal working style is, I'm a very curious person. So if something fascinates me, I drill down into the detail, the minutia, and sometimes the time will elapse without me realizing. I think that's something I've had to work to get control of. I think, especially in a landscape such as this, where opportunities come and go quite quickly, having the ability to just be able to turn things around quickly, having the ability to not to overthink things and be quite dynamic is something I've had to learn, and I've learned from mentors around me. And the second thing is communication. So again, when I'm in my zone, I can find it hard to look up and ask for help or look up and update people on my progress. I think the first 2 or 3 years of Social Chain, I experienced sort of setbacks with that. So like I said, I was in the US, majority of our team in the UK, we're already at a disadvantage because they were ahead of us in sort of time zones.
Yeah.
And in order to get things done, you have to sort of prepare, like have that communication early. And I think sometimes that was like a big learning for me at that point in my career, where being willing to over-communicate with clients, teammates, and people who were managing me, and then also making sure I blocked enough time and stuck to the time that I blocked for tasks.
Got it. That actually takes me to my next question very well, which is a question around productivity. And then, I'm curious, we marketers have to juggle with so many things. And I'm curious, what's like the one thing that you think stands between you and your most productive self? For example, for me, a huge distraction at work day to day is just the notifications, Slack notifications, and my phone is buzzing all the time. And one habit that I developed in order to make this work is just, trying to put myself, on do not disturb, at least for blocks of time. I'm wondering, what is that one thing that distracts you the most and stands between you and your most productive self?
Yeah, so I think there's two things. I think in a similar way to you, there's the day-to-day notifications, the day-to-day ad hoc requests, and everyone thinks their project is the most high priority thing, and your input is holding them up from success on their project. So just working with people to reorder priorities and even myself, like understanding what the priorities are too. And the second thing, I guess, is I sometimes I struggle to find the level to communicate with someone on. Some people are quite like broad strokes. They just need to see the main details and the price and they're ready to go. And I'm someone who likes to go into the finer details, mm-hmm. which means that sometimes I'm overworking a client or opportunity before that could be out the door a lot faster. So yeah, just managing that myself.
Right, that's an interesting one, yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about what your day-to-day looks like?
Yeah, so over, especially this year, I stepped into this role this year and had about 3 months before COVID hit. So I thought would be my day-to-day this year and my month and my week has completely changed. But the role I've taken on involves working with our three main distribution platforms. So we own media and our publisher reach is, we reach about 300 million people on social media platforms each month through our own content. We also have a really sharp influencer team. So we use influencers to distribute content and create content. We also have paid capabilities. So we're a Facebook marketing partner. We basically use all the major paid platforms. So whilst I help our creative team to distribute the campaigns we create to achieve the most reach for the least investment possible and trying to find innovative ways to get our content and our ideas in front of people. So there's a broad variety in my day-to-day, whether it's selling in ideas and media plans to clients, or whether it's overseeing the execution of campaigns. And the final thing I do is often take meetings with partners. So whether that's someone in the US who has a gaming network that reaches 18 million hardcore gamers, or whether that's a tool that allows you to give people calendar notifications. I'm always looking for innovative ways to partner with interesting distribution channels.
Interesting. You touched upon a subject, COVID, and I was wondering what were the biggest adjustments that your team had to make in terms of work, in terms of keeping in touch, in terms of alignment, in terms of clients and external partners. What, you know, was the biggest adjustments in the transition?
So as I mentioned, so I just started in the US again at the start of the year. So yeah. I was already set up with working with my team remotely. So most of my team are based in the UK. Mm-hmm. A lot of our partners are based around the States. So I think the two things that COVID probably disrupted was my ability to travel to meet partners, yeah. and also my ability to travel to sort of pitch to clients. So we'd planned this really large roadshow. It'd been a massive success in the UK media space the previous year. And we basically took our brands to different agencies, allowed them to see it, feel it, and we'd just talk about our reach, talk about our campaigns, and give them a taste of how we could work with their clients. So we'd had East Coast one planned for about April, and we were mm-hmm. planning West Coast one later in the year. Those sort of in-person meetings and those roadshows were off the table, and for a long time, people didn't know about hiring freezes or job cuts, and those type of external activities were sort of off everyone's agenda. So that's probably the biggest change. Right. I was already working remotely, so I was used to that. And I think not going into the office, so a large part of SoStrange culture was this experience when you go to work, the hours would fly by. It was a very creative place. There's lots of big characters and lots of just crazy, we just feel ideas bouncing off each other. And we'd set the office up in a way that you could have breakout meetings or just have a quick all-hands meeting. And that energy and that sort of flow through the day had been taken away. Because of that, that was sort of bad for creativity. And almost it made the workday feel a bit more laborious rather than the sort of fun and dynamic culture and experience that we created in the office over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're talking about. We had to go through the same thing with Planable. I have one last question for you before we wrap up with our rapid fire session. That question is about the trends and the buzzwords and how dynamic our industry is, how dynamic social media is. And I'm curious, what's, one buzzword or one trend or popular thing in social media or generally in marketing today, in marketing and advertising today, that you think is massively overrated or that is, annoying you or you're disagreeing with?
So I don't quite disagree with the actual purpose behind it, but the word I thought was the word that they used almost showed how far marketing had gone in the wrong direction. And you'll see a lot of this, a lot of criticism backlash at the time of recording this week on LinkedIn and all the trade press. But Mondelez had basically come out with a strategy called humaning. And personally, I'm a big fan of Mondelez's advertising. The work they're doing with Cadbury's in the UK is phenomenal. And a lot of their Oreo stuff, absolutely incredible. However, the need to redefine just talking to another human being in your marketing communications as humaning, for me, maybe shows more about the wider industry, not just Mondelez. But I think that was something that disturbed me recently. And like I said, I love what they're doing in terms of how they action that out. But to have to redefine it and have to give it a new word, obviously they knew the backlash was going to come because in our industry, those buzzwords are, those buzzwords are hated. So yeah, that's probably the one thing I'd say. The it highlights like how far the industry's moved in the wrong direction towards this sort of efficiency, ROI, return on ad spend model, where we should focus on talking to people in a way that they can relate to.
I agree with you. It's a bit sad that we need to remind ourselves that we're talking to other human beings in our communications and marketing. So that's a good one. Moving forward to our rapid fire session, I have four quick questions for you, quick answers. So my first one is, what's your, personally, what's your favorite social media network?
I'll have a favorite and then a product team will ship something. It'll either turn me off it or... So for a long time, if you look at my time spent, it was Instagram. But these new changes, I'm finding it easy to limit my time spent on Instagram. I'm spending a lot of time on Reddit at the moment. I'm enjoying being able to dive into these sub-communities. And I think the conversation on Reddit has been exciting. As you might have seen, cryptocurrencies having a moment after 2017. And crypto Twitter's exciting. So is US politics Twitter. So Twitter and Reddit are my two favorite platforms at the moment.
That's awesome. What's your favorite app or tool that you use at work?
This is not a hashtag ad, but once you sent me the request for this podcast, I actually took a look at Planable, and I think it's an incredible tool, and I know it will have some really positive impact on the work I'm doing. So I'm keen to explore that a little bit more. I spend a lot of time on Tubular Labs, looking at how video content is doing across different social networks. And Winmo. So when I, like I said, talked about entering a new market, meeting, just finding where the conversation is going in advertising in a new market, I think sales intelligence tool like Winmo is quite useful too. So Winmo, Tubular, and Planable are mine.
Thank you. And this is, I confirm, this is not an ad. We haven't talked about this before recording. Worst advice that you've ever received, Michael?
I remember the conversation I had with her just before I decided to quit my job and join a social chain.
Yeah.
So I spent a week in London with Steve and Dom, and I had such a great time. I was like, picked up the phone, I was like, Mum, I'm going to quit. I'm going to move to London and work at Social Chain. And she was like, You're going to leave a job without that's got a great pension, great perks and benefits for this startup. How are they even going to pay you at the end of the month? And I was like, it's a risk I'm going to take. If I don't take it now, I'm at an age where it's probably like the best time to take a risk. If it doesn't work out, I can rebound quickly. And I'm really glad I didn't listen to my mum's advice and stay with my
corporate employer from previously.
Definitely congrats on not taking that advice. But my last question for you is, if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else would you do?
So that depends. Is this a question where it's like, I've still got the same skill set and still got the same abilities as now, or is this a pure fantasy?
Pure fantasy. Let's go with pure fantasy.
Okay. So in my pure fantasy world, I would wake up, I would probably be an athlete.
Okay.
Maybe an individual sport, maybe like something like boxing, but also use my time and intelligence and wealth to help fix the problems of childhood education. So it's something I'm super passionate about. I believe that the schools I went to and the opportunities that I had at university helped me get to where I am based on where I started from. And I think there are millions of young people with potential who don't have those opportunities, and those options are taken away from them at such an early stage in their life that fixing childhood education could change the world we live in today. So yeah, those two things, being a top-ranked athlete, probably a world champion boxer, and fixing the childhood education.
This is such a wonderful answer, and really an amazing conversation, Michael. Thank you so much for taking your time to share your story and your career. I really enjoyed learning more about it. Thanks again for taking the time to do this.
Thank you for having me. I love the format of the podcast and had fun doing it, so appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. And for everyone else listening in, thank you for joining, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to People of Marketing on your favorite podcast app, and till next time.